during the coffee break, Sister Liz came to see me in her wonderful fashion. I like it. Eliezer, the numerical number is 318. How about that? There was something else, Liz. What was the other thing? You see, they've taken me off.
Eliezer means God is my help.
God is my help. That's lovely, isn't it? Right, brothers and sisters, let's have a look, shall we? You know, because we've been there before, that Hagar was given to Sarah by Pharaoh. So already in this little scenario, we have an Assyrian and an Egyptian. And I mentioned before, when it works out in the kingdom or thereabouts, there will be three nations: Israel, Assyria, and Egypt. And these three will be three into one, if you know what I mean. Now here we have this two women in the first verse. The title I've got above my chapter is Two Women, One Man and a Son. But of course, if you look at the program, it's not quite the same. Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. She had an handmaiden Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to him, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me." That's a once, brethren and sisters. The Hebrew, and I've got this one this time, Brother Terry. Atsar. A-T-S-A-R. And it means to shut up. Ah, now sisters, where are we going? To shut up. Now, if you remember where we've just closed, Abraham's idea was that Eliezer should be his heir. The flesh again, you see. Now it's Sarah's turn. Sarah's turn, you see. Now, brother and sister, excuse me, brethren, if I do go off to the sisters in this particular chapter, for good reason, I believe. Although I'm not specifically talking to them, but you know where I'm coming from. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Now, it's interesting to note that Sarah had already said, restrained me. Now, I'm going to suggest, brother and sister, another one of those civitous suggestions, that she wanted to know specifically if it was her, or whether it was Abraham. Now, don't forget that up until this time, they had no children. Abraham or Sarah, no children. So, sisters, the question is now going out to you, you see. How did she know? I don't think she did. Had it been revealed to her? Do you know? Had the word of the Lord come unto her in some way or other that she knew this? Or was there some other way in which Sarah knew that she couldn't have children? Right. It was her idea. We'll come to that in a moment. Her idea to give Hagar, the Egyptian maid that Pharaoh had given to her, to become the child bearer to Abraham. And he went in unto Hagar, verse 4, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised. Notice that word is used twice. Verse 4 and verse 5, used by both of them, really, if you read between the lines. And the Hebrew for that, Terry, I'm getting better though, aren't I, with this Hebrew? Galal, G-A-L-A-L. It's the Hebrew for despised. Now, immediately, I believe, Sarah would now realize that it wasn't Abraham who was at fault. Notice this, brothers and sisters, the first time. He went in unto her, and she conceived. No long wait, no period of time, immediately. Now what happened? Sarah, just like, I be careful what I'm saying here, brother, I'm really going to be in trouble this morning. Now blames Abraham. Now you're going back, aren't you? You've gone there already, haven't you? Yes, of course you have. Now notice this, verse 5, my wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And then there's that, the Lord judge between me and thee. Now this is quite strange, brothers and sisters, you see. She now blames Abraham for something that she had organised. Brethren, we're used to that, aren't we? Only if it goes wrong. But you see, brethren, you need not fear. It's all gone on before. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all here, you see. And so, having given Hagar her blessing and Abraham her blessing, the situation now changes. Instead of being the handmaid, instead of being the servant, she now becomes the wife, doesn't she? And that's where the difficulty begins, brethren and sisters. Abraham said unto Sarah, and I like this, because this is astute, brethren, he said. This is astute. Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. The Revised Version says, do to her that which is good in thine eyes. In other words, how do you look at it, Sarah? Your problem. Well, that's right, isn't it? She had made the problem. It was of her making. And Abraham, unfortunately, brethren and sisters, agreed with her. Now, if you go back to Eden, the same conflict, can I suggest, brethren and sisters, that there was a psychological problem in the Garden of Eden with two people, Adam and his wife. What was he to do? Leave her? Get on with it? Not my problem. I'll walk out, Eve. It's your problem. All brethren and sisters, I'd like to put another angle on it. I know we look at all that side. Do you think it just might have been that for the love of his wife, Eve, that Adam did the right thing in her eyes? And therefore, for that love, that's what he did. Now, I'm going to take you one stage further. For the love of his ecclesia, the Lord laid down his life. And that love was so great, brethren and sisters, he gave us the opportunity of life forevermore. One man and his bride. One man here and two women. Now, you know the outcome. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, Hebrew is afflicted her, she fled from her face. Now I think the next bit is absolutely beautiful. It must have been difficult, brethren and sisters, for two women. They say it's not the done thing for two women to work in the same kitchen, is it? And you can just imagine here that now this woman, Sarah, this woman Hagar, was with child by the father of the faithful. You can then imagine what sort of conversation, if any, would go on beneath the canvas of that tent. Not good. Not good at all. And so she dealt so hardly with her and afflicted her that she fled from her face. Look where she was. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Where was she going, brother and sister? Oh, you're right. Back to Egypt. And you would, wouldn't you? Where do you go? When there are problems, brothers and sisters, where do they go? Daughters and sons, I mean. Back home. You're right, brother and sister. You know why? Why? Why do they go back home? Say, you're right about that. But because there is an empathy, isn't there? Between, I'm going to suggest this, between a mother and especially her son. And maybe the other way around. But always back home. Blood is thicker than water, brothers and sisters, isn't it? And so she thought that the best place for her to be was back home. But the Lord sent an angel to rescue her. And I think this is absolutely wonderful. And this is where the Lord, brethren and sisters, looks after this Egyptian handmaiden. The angel of the Lord found her, and he said to Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. Now, I'm going to suggest, sisters, that would be the most difficult thing in the world to accomplish. You wouldn't like it, would you? You're now going back with the child of the master of the house to become once again the servant of the one that you had served in Egypt. Yet carrying his child. Carrying, supposedly, the heir, brethren and sisters, to all that Abraham owned. And maybe not only so, but to everything else as well. And it was Sarah's way. It was her request. It was her doing. And now Hagar was going back to be her slave. But with this in mind, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And that was going to happen. And it did. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. Not only so, brothers and sisters. You see, this is where I think sort of immortality, or when you're working for God, has that extra dimension. Doesn't it? Not just with child, could have been one of two. Couldn't it? But now, what does it say? Thou shalt bear a son. Another admission may be that here again with the heir, but not only so, thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he shall be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. This was to be a wild ass of a man, brethren and sisters. Oh, absolutely. God shall hear, is the meaning. And he did. But this was the sort of man that this man Ishmael was going to be. About the presence of all his brethren. Well, brethren, what do you think about this? I suppose this has been discussed long and many times over open Bibles. I've just got an easy answer. To the east. That suits me. It's good. To the east of his brethren. That's where they all went, brethren and sisters. Make no mistake about it. That's where they are today. We may deal with that a little bit later on, because there's some other sons that go to the east. Abraham's sons, too. Oh, yeah. That's for a bit later on. Verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. Look, isn't it? For she said, Have I also here looked after him that feareth me? Wherefore, the well was called Beer Lahairoi, the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Isn't that good? Absolutely wonderful. So she was not to be forgotten, you see. She was going to be part of a family. Oh yes. She had come out of the loins of Abraham. He was their father, brothers and sisters, whichever way you look at it. But it was not the seed of promise. This was the seed of the flesh. This was Sarai's way, as well as Abraham's. And this was not to be. God hadn't promised this, but he allowed it, brothers and sisters. That's the lovely part about it. He allowed it. And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. He was the son of an uncircumcised father. That's the difference. An uncircumcised father. Nothing to do with the covenant of Christ. Nothing to do with the promise that God had made to this man through his wife, brethren and sisters. I want to take you over somewhere now. You know where I'm going? I hope you're not going to deal with this either, Brother Marco. Because if you are, I'm in there first. Galatians chapter 4, brethren and sisters. I mean, you're going to have a lot of leisure time to look all these things up, aren't you, really? If you just look at chapter, just glance at chapter 3 and have a look at Abraham and the covenant and the promise and all those things. I'm just dealing specifically with these two women, Sarai and Hagar. Now, in this chapter, the apostle opens up and goes right to the point that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth, notice how he uses these words, brethren and sisters, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but he's under tutors and governors, I love this, until the time appointed of the Father. Now, you can either leave that as it is in its natural state, or take it a stage higher and think about it. The time appointed of the Father. And as yet, brothers and sisters, that time had not come for Sarah and Abraham. No. But I just want to keep that on one side, because I want to take you to verse 21. Talking to these brethren and sisters who still desired that their lives should be run under the law. Hadn't got out of it, brethren and sisters. Now let's have a look. Verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, what do ye hear? Do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid. What? I mean, you notice the subtle difference. Bondmaid. The other by a free woman. Now here's the difference, benefits, between the two covenants. He who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. Just read Testaments for that, it's the same thing. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, all that this word allegory means, brethren and sisters, is this, that when anything is said, another thing more excellent is signified. It's a parable, really. What the Apostle Paul was doing, which was quite clever, was, if you like, turning this parable round towards those who thought that they were of the promised seed. Now look what he says. They were in bondage. We were never in bondage, they said. What else did they say? To the Lord Jesus Christ. We be Abraham's children. What did he say? He said, if you were the children of Abraham, he said, you would do the works of Abraham. And then what did he say? But you don't. Whose works do you do? The works of the devil, he said. And then the Apostle Paul is here taking the stage further. He says to you're children of Hagar. Yeah, that's what you are. That would rub brethren and sisters, wouldn't it, just? They could trace their descendants back to Abraham. You're telling them about nothing to do with it. Well, he was up against it here, brethren and sisters, but he was prepared to take it on, wasn't he? You see, the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, here we are, brethren and sisters, are the children of the promise. Not by any genealogy which you can trace, brethren and sisters. We are children of the new covenant. Aren't we, brethren and sisters? By Jesus Christ, and by faith in him and in his Father. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman, verse 30, and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the children of the free. So, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The Apostle Paul was trying to point out to them that no matter how much they were involved in the works of the law, he wasn't going to save them. Because he couldn't. Could he? Although it had been written with the finger of God, brothers and sisters, it was disannulled when the Lord came and gave them a better covenant, a covenant of grace and a covenant of life. So these two women here are important women, brethren and sisters, greatly important in the way things work out here according to the Apostle Paul. Two women, two sons, only one by promise, the other of the flesh. So let's just go back to this 16th chapter. By this time, brethren and sisters, the end of chapter 16, Abraham was 86 years old. 86. And just leave that with you. Chapter 17. Now, when Abraham was 99 years old, that's another 13 years. You know, brothers and sisters, I think by this time I would have been worn out with waiting. You would, wouldn't you? But when was this promise going to be fulfilled? When am I going to have this child of promise? There's no movement here, Lord. Nothing's changed. I've got a 13-year-old lad by a bond woman. You know. You see, it's all right sitting here, brethren and sisters, because we're so detached, aren't we? We're out of the picture. And we read these things and you think, well, that's all right. You only waited another 13 years. 13 years. Look what God says to him. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now here's a little touch of homework for you. I will. How many? Are you sure? Six or seven. I'm going to go with this sister over here for six. But you can tell her, check it out, I'm sure, and you'll probably come back to him and say, you're wrong, Brother Alan. But up till now, I've got six I wills. Now, I'm only saying that because I've got another little note there. Six I wills, six work. Very interesting. However you look at it, it's work. Heaven is what?
Rest.
Yeah. See, you do that. Brilliant, I love that. Rest. All these things that are involved were to do with work, brethren and sisters. But it was going to work out, wasn't it? Where does it work out? Have a look at verse 8. I will be their God. So he's reiterating this here, isn't he? Now think about the 6 days, brethren and sisters. 6 days' work, what's going to happen to us as the bride of Christ? The bridegroom is going to come and take us unto himself. And we are going to be part of the marriage of the Lamb. What a wedding. We thought about what a wedding, brethren and sisters. All to do with the promise, nothing else. All to do with this one line, you see. And the other thing that I like is this. Verse 3 says, Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. Isn't that lovely? Now the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4, brethren and sisters, says many times within that chapter that he would be the father of many nations, and he was. Behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And it goes on down that chapter, brothers and sisters. Just look at the I wills. Thou shalt keep my covenant, verse 9. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. And then, brethren and sisters, there is this. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Now, before anything could happen with the promised seed, brethren and sisters, the flesh had to be done away with. Absolutely. Same with the new covenant. The flesh had to die. The flesh, brethren and sisters, was crucified, nailed to a tree by the Son of God, by a perfect sacrifice for sin. I'm going to mention this as well. For himself as well. Absolutely. Oh yeah. Though sinless, he bore our iniquity. He was born of a woman. Born under the law, brethren and sisters. Made like unto the sons of men. Jesus Christ dying for himself, as well as for you and me. And it's all here, brethren and sisters. Circumcised the eighth day. Every man-child in your generations that is born in the house or bought with money, note this, of the stranger. Isn't it? Come into the covenant of promise. All you strangers. No matter where they come from. Come in. Oh yes. Which is not of thy seed. No wonder the Apostle Paul, brethren and sisters, is trying to hammer home to these men who have been brought up under the law. That in the end they would be rejected. Because there was a greater race that was going to come into being, which would be saved through faith. Oh yes. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Now, there was a sister that mentioned to me yesterday about the names. Well, that's me, brethren and sisters, isn't it? Sarah, I, Abram, Sarah, Abraham. And with that change, brethren and sisters, because it was essential that that should happen at this time, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And there's a difference, isn't there? Sarai, Yah is Prince. Abram, father of height. Sarah, princess. Abraham, father of the multitude. So you see, the cutting away of the flesh is here, brothers and sisters, not only pronounced by that, but in the name change as well. Now look at this. Within this covenant fold, brethren and sisters, there is this. I will bless her, verse 16, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Wow. But note the comment of the writer. Said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And let's have a little look and see what Romans says, shall we? Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. Just opens things up a little bit, brothers and sisters. Romans chapter 4. Now you can read all the ongoing verses. Do you know, brother and sister, I'm not so sure you're going to have enough time for all this, to be honest with you. But just go into verse 12, Romans chapter 4. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Now, what that is saying is this. He had the faith before he was circumcised. Didn't he? The father of the faithful. Why? Because he'd been promised it, brethren and sisters. But let's just go down. I've just lost my connection with it. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. How? What was dead? Sarah's womb. Now, brothers and sisters, before this, did Sarah ever produce seed? Going to leave you with that just for a second or two. Alright? Remember that. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, brethren and sisters, the womb carries the child. The seed is produced somewhere else. Now you can see where I'm going. and then comes to the womb and attaches itself to the side. All I'm asking is this. Were anything produced to the womb of Sarah before God operated through a miracle? Or was it because that seeds were not produced at all? Like my sister on the front of you, she was barren. Now is there a deeper meaning to that? Or is it that the womb, brethren and sisters, is shut, closed? Maybe, you see, that's why Sarah didn't know, or did know, either way, that she could or could not have children. So maybe it was more of a natural thing with her, and that is why, under the normal things, brethren and sisters, you women who know about the natural cycle of life, when it stops, you cannot bear, well, rarely can you bear children. Rarely, I think. But here, you see, remember how old she was. I think the words of the Apostle Paul, brethren and sisters, are absolutely wonderful. Just look at this about Abram. He considered not his own body now dead. Wow. That is fantastic, isn't it? How old? 99, brethren and sisters. Why didn't he consider it? Means it didn't enter into his mind. Why not? Faith. Faith, brethren. But I like that term, who quickeneth the dead. Now, for this child to be born, brethren and sisters, of Sarah and Abraham, I was going to say it took two miracles, but we'll go for one. Mm-hmm. Certainly one miracle, didn't it? And that was, it could only happen by the power of God. No other way. It was promised. And it was only through the power of God operating either on the womb, Sarah, or those things that produce the eggs, or both, that she could have the son. Now, I'm going to take those dates further. Only when this promise had been ratified, brethren and sisters, could the other miracle occur. And it wasn't going to be through the flesh. That's the great thing, isn't it? The virgin shall conceive. Unheard of. Never known. It doesn't happen. Just enter into the mind of this young girl, say 16 years of age, whom God had said, the angel, you're going to bear a son. Not only, you're going to call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall rule over the house of Jacob forever. He's going to have a son, Mary. How shall I know this? Seeing I know not a man. Well, he said, Elizabeth, you know that old woman, your cousin, go and see her. She's pregnant. Wow. What would she do? Wouldn't pack her bags, brethren and sisters, she'd be gone. Wouldn't she? She would be gone. to find out if what God had said was going to come to pass. And it did. And she was then convinced, of course, if that could happen to these two old people, not a miracle, then it could happen to her. Be it unto me. And it was. So here then, brothers and sisters, coming back here, we're just going to no, not that you're still with us. Right, brothers and sisters. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 17. She was 90. He was 99-ish. Now, I'm not to a month or two, brother and sister. So I don't want anybody arguing about 99 and 100. It's all here. Look at what Abraham still saying. Oh, that Ishmael, verse 18, might live before thee. Now what he's saying is this, Lord, is there no place for Ishmael? Now I like that. Well, he was your son. You would, wouldn't you? You just couldn't, I believe, brothers and sisters, all things being natural and thus made of the flesh, you could not just cast him on one side now as though nothing had happened, could you? That was, neither was it God's intention either, that that should happen. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Is there no place for Ishmael? Yes, God had said, he will not be forgotten. That's nothing. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you now before we get there. He was there at the end as well. Two sons together laid a father to rest. That's something to come on. So here, Abraham is appealing to God. But God said, verse 19, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. I love that. The father appealing for his firstborn son, though of the flesh. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. What is missing, brothers and sisters, from those words? Covenant. No covenant. No covenant at all. The rest was right. Promise. Not a covenant, brother and sister. Not a covenant. But it was right. My covenant will I establish, verse 21, with Isaac. And which Sarah shall bear unto thee, look at this, at this set time in the next year. I can't believe that, brother and sister. God for you, isn't it? Now your minds are probably racing. Probably. At the appointed time, he shall appear. Not before, not when we would like it, not next year, not any time, brothers and sisters. The appointed time he will appear. My time, God said. Is that good enough for you? night time. He's our Father. And I'll tell you something else, brother and sister. He knows best. That's the thing. So we left off talking with Abraham, and God went up from Abraham, man to man. What do you think? And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house. Huh? Brother Michael? 380. At least, wasn't it? All were born in his house. How, brother and sister? I'm just coming down a bit now to the natural. Circumcision. We talk about it, you know, quite as if it's something that we don't really want to talk about. Isn't it? Cutting off the flesh. But it's true, isn't it? That will do, you see, won't it? It's one of those areas, brethren and sisters. Isn't it? But there's tremendous reason, you see, why God appointed a time. There are spiritual reasons as well. A new covenant. Just want to take you just for a minute or two. Right, better get on with it. In the selfsame day, Abram was circumcised, and Ishmael his son, all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with the money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, they would be laid up for days. Remember when David went down against the Philistines? Oh yeah, good reason. For days. The 8 days is different. There's a substance within the blood called prothrombin, which is the greatest clotting agent that the Lord devised that would operate at its maximum on the 8th day. You talk about evolution? 8th day. The 8th day, brothers and sisters, is a new beginning. And therefore, after this, it was designated, it was a covenant with his people through Abraham, the father of the faithful, that the 8 days should be the cutting off of the flesh. Designed so that 8 day, brethren and sisters, would be the right day. I don't know whether any of you have read None of These Diseases. Yes. Good book. Second. So it's important. Sometimes we read these things and not. But it's important, brothers and sisters. Absolutely important. And there's one of the reasons why. And so when it says, well, just imagine all these men, all of them, in the house of Abraham, laying in bed. Women, sisters, do your best to look after the men of the household, because they would need looking after for days, brethren and sisters. And they would have to be too. Oh yes. Believe me. They would have to be. So here is this new covenant established. Two women, two totally different nations, one covenant, brothers and sisters, one father. And this is how it's going to work out. And then a little bit later on, we're going to have a look as a man who was now circumcised, whose wife, brethren and sisters, was going to have a child of promise.